And welcome to episode 26 of season 9 of Movie Raw Minutes, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through Die Hard Duo, Die Hard 4 and 5, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me for this mid-season finale is Jay Cluett of the Deep Blue Sea Pod and Life vs. Film. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Rob. I am back. It feels odd to be here mid-season, but it's the end of the film. It's okay. I can do this.
Well, get used to it, because you're going to be back the next 3 days also. So,
Oh, God.
you'll be back for the next 3 episodes. Whether it's tomorrow or not, we'll see.
You've just reminded me I have to watch Die Hard 5 soon.
That's right. This is a special Saturday edition. So listeners
should know, I think this is the first time behind the curtain here, we're recording the end of one film before we record the start of the next one.
That's right.
That's never happened before.
That's true. That's very true. It's just because of timing. It all worked out well.
Sure.
And we also won't be doing any stats at the end of today's episode either, because we're going to wait until the end of the season to do that. So that all works well. So episode 26 begins with the credits continuing and ends with fade to black. So once again, we will not have a full amount of time on the final episode with Jay. This will not be a 5 minute. This will not be an episode where we'll be diving into 5 minutes of this movie. We will actually only be diving into 3 minutes and 41 seconds of the credits. The credits begin, and we have. And produced in association with Ingenious Film Partners. They're quite ingenious, I guess you could say.
So good for them.
Yes. And then we get into a whole bunch of the various credits about the art direction and the set designers and stuff like that. Now, I saw a name that just jumped out of here that just threw me off whatsoever. Did you happen to see the name of the first art director?
I did not.
His name is Beat Frutiger.
That's a fun name.
And to me, it just sounded like it was a fake name. So I said, I got to check to make sure that this is a real name. And apparently it is. He is an art director who was born on the 31st of October, 1951. So he is currently 73 years old. And he works out of L.A. and holds a bachelor's in architecture.
Okay.
He's been in the industry for many, many years. He has a whole long list of movies that he's worked on, including this movie, obviously. And he is still working as of 2025. So that's also nice to see that someone is still working as well as possible for him.
His name is Swiss. It's a Swiss name. I'm trying to look out where Beat would come from.
I think it's a name. Yeah. You think it's like
maybe. That's the Swiss language is kind of an amalgam of like there's French, there's German, there's other stuff in there. It could be. You might go by B. It could be a silent T. I don't know. By the way, if it is Beat Frutiger, great name. All for it.
That's what got us to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he worked on Avengers Endgame recently.
Yes, he did.
That guy and then, he's doing the, stuff the and more. He worked on also. Ghostbusters. Yeah.
And Transformers. Yeah.
Ghostbusters. Yeah,
he's been in a lot of stuff that he's he has 28 IMDb credits as an art director and another 8 in the art department, and then 3 as self, which means that maybe he was on a podcast. Yeah. I don't know.
He might have been on a commentary on a DVD commentary perhaps, or a special feature.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Right. I couldn't. When I tried finding on IMDb what the self was, it wouldn't tell me. It's very weird.
Well, I'm looking at it now. He did a video called Our World in 2007.
When I click on... there we go. Now I see it.
Batcave Legacy of the Lair, that sounds like a DVD bonus
Yeah.
feature to me. And still watching Netflix.
Yeah.
That's another TV series. So yeah, the episode of Our World is it's a BBC news show following a number of people who, despite growing up in the UK, were not allowed to become citizens of the country and were deported after reaching the age of 18. So
Fun, fun, fun.
whether he was one of such people, I don't know.
I mean, Steven Spielberg is also on that, so I don't know if Steven Spielberg was deported.
I don't think he grew up in the UK, so
Right. Yeah, something sounds a little strange because the number of people that they're, I mean, look at all the people who are listed there. You got Alex Kurtzman, Roberto
Robert
Orci,
Orci, yeah.
Michael Bay, Shia LaBeouf, John Voight,
Lorenzo de Bonaventura, yeah, John
Megan
Voight,
Fox.
Megan Fox. Okay, so this is something they made on the set of Transformers, I'm
Yeah, that's the
guessing,
way it
because.
sounds. It doesn't necessarily. I believe that the plot summary is incorrect.
Yes,
That's
I
correct.
think either the plot is incorrect or the cast is incorrect. These two things aren't lining up.
Well, the picture on it is of
Also
Transformers.
Transformers. Yep.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go into IMDb and edit this and get rid of it. You know,
Yeah.
that's what I'm gonna do. You know,
Good.
I like being able to do these things. You know, on I like to have the power to delete and add things on IMDb. We will get to that shortly because there is another thing here that I actually made a change. Based on doing research for this particular episode. So that worked.
Okay.
Now we're done with Beat, and we continue, and we get lots more credits of a lot more people that worked on this movie. We get the script supervisor, and then we get all the set decorators and the lead man and the prop maker. And then we have another thing that just jumped out at me that was the swing gang boss,
Sure.
which does not sound like something you want to have on a movie set. It just sounds a little strange.
Yeah, I don't think it's that kind of a swing game.
I'm aware of
I
that.
haven't
Do you have any
spent
idea
any
what
time on sets, but that's just a guess.
all right, do you have any idea what a swing gang is?
I know I've heard it in the past, but I cannot remember.
Okay. A swing gang is one or more persons who make last-minute changes on a film set. It may include construction of new portions of a set, the director requests, or simply striking large furniture at a set decorator's request. The swing gang is part of the set dressing department. Sets that are not part of the permanent sets are called swing sets. They come and go as the scripts dictate. Thus, the crew that handles the set dressing elements are called the swing gang. These sets may need to be struck during the late evening of or the swing shift, which is why they call it that way. Which
Sure.
okay,
It's interesting
makes sense.
and the swing gang boss on Die Hard 4.0 was
Dave Dunn.
Bruce Willis's character from Unbreakable.
That's right.
That's interesting. Don't look get that guy wet. It's not
That's
gonna
right.
help, not gonna go well.
No. Well, again, he's got a pretty good constitution, so I guess it makes sense for him to be around,
Yeah, he never had a
be on a
sleep
film
day.
set, and he's left Philadelphia and decided to go to Baltimore to deal with some of the stuff here.
There we go. Yeah, but I mean, Baltimore is, I know it's got those docks. He needs to be careful around that much water.
That's true.
As David Dunn. Yeah,
Very
needs
true.
to head inland, head to Nebraska or something.
That's right. Hey, you know your U.S. geography. That's good. That'll
I remember these. I remember this.
help you at the end of today's episode when we do the games.
I remember the Sesame Street episode where, like, you can sell everywhere, but you can't sell to Nebraska. That's just in me. That's the only
Oh
landlocked state I can name is Nebraska.
wow! Yeah, there are a lot more landlocked
That's the one I
states than
know.
Nebraska,
Yep.
but looking at the map behind me, Nebraska is right smack in the middle. I don't know if you see where I'm
Can't
pointing.
sail there.
Did you
Yeah,
see I'm
it's a
pointing?
bit of glare, but
Where
yes.
did you go? Oh, but that's where Nebraska is. So, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So we keep continuing where we deal with all the camera people. Then we deal with all the property masters and the different editors. We go through all these different visual effects coordinators, and then we get the electrics, and then we got something that sounded really strange to me. When you're dealing with the electric people, you have the best boy rigging electric, and his name is Branch Brunson, which also
That's a great name.
Which also sounds like a superhero. You know, he does have the alliteration, which helps.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yes.
You gotta give it up to parents who are like, this surname starts with BR, first name also BR.
Correct. Like, I don't know if that's his real name or not.
Branch is just a fun name. What's your kid called? Branch. Oh, no, Lim? Root? No, Branch? Okay, fine. Yeah,
I don't know. No clue. So he has, when I was doing this research, he had 34 IMDb credits, and now he has 35 IMDb credits. Because for some strange reason, he was not credited in this movie on IMDb.
Oh,
so I added him in, and now he's there. He's the best boy rigging electric, which is apparently a standard title for for someone who's doing this type of work.
You should go back and check if he's still on there, like in a week's time, because maybe he's editing his own IMDb to take it off. Maybe he doesn't want to be associated with Die Hard 4.
Well, he wasn't in A Good Day to Die Hard, so.
True, I could justify it,
but here less so.
There's a member of the electrics department is Lee Majors.
That's right. They have the $6 million man here, which
expensive electrics.
Well, for the type of stuff they give the $6 million man nowadays, it would probably be a few billion to create it by a man like that. Have you ever seen the TV show? Or are you just
never? I'm aware of it, but I've never seen it.
You should watch just one episode, just to laugh, because it's
sure.
At the time it was very serious, and now it is not.
I think I only know of it from the 40-year-old virgin, when they have like Steve Carell's character has an action figure of the $6 million man's boss, I think.
Of course, Richard Anderson.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, especially when you're dealing with Steve Carell's character. It's not something that you would think beforehand, but once you know the character, you're like, okay, that makes sense. And then immediately below that, we have three people who have the exact same last name. So it goes back to what I always like talking about, that the
nepotism.
These family, you have the key rigging grip, the best boy rigging grip, and the rigging gear. And they are Don, Jason, and Jeremy Seltzer.
A family business.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I wasn't able to figure out like who's who in them. Who's the father, who's the son. But they work on a lot of things together. I mean, Jason Seltzer has worked on a lot of Star Wars stuff. He did the Book of Boba Fett, The Mandalorian, Skeleton Crew. He himself has 65 IMDb credits. And then Jeremy has 38 credits. Also in the camera and electrical department. And then Don has 32 credits. But again, it's almost impossible to figure out who's older here. Maybe it's just three brothers dealing with this stuff. Don began his career in 1996. Jason began his career in 1995. So that would probably mean that they're brothers. That sort of sounds that way. And then Jeremy started his career in 2000. So I think that it would be a fair guess to say that these are probably three brothers that are working in the grip department together. So these are guys who know how to hold all the key rigging, stuff like that. According to IMDb, Don has six children, and there's no information about the other two. That's as much as I was able to find about them. But as you said, it's a family affair.
Sure is.
Yeah. And then the credits continue. We get the customers. We get the customer to Mr. Willis. I love how they refer to, you know, the main actors always as Mr. or Miss.
You know, they show some respect.
Yeah, exactly. Followed by the office production assistants. And then you get the foreman and all the technicians. Followed by the pyrotechnicians. And then the construction people and, you know, a lot of those. We then start getting more information about the accountants. Do you know how many accountants they have here?
No. How many accountants do they have here, Rob?
They have one production accountant. They have the first assistant accountant. And then they have four second assistant accountants.
Sure. This, okay. They went on about this in one episode of
Robin Williams.
There's also a post-production accountant and the assistant to the post-production accountant. And the accounting office clerk and the payroll assistant.
Yes.
The payroll account. Yeah. So there's in total there's nine. Yeah.
Well,
this is something they
accountant count as part of the accountants there? I don't know.
I don't know. But this is where you get down into the weeds of do we need the credits for these people on the film? I think they talked about this in Star Wars Minutes at some point, where, like, yes, these people technically were involved in some aspect of the film being released, but did they work on the film? Or did the film use this accountancy firm?
Right.
And then just give them all the credits? I don't know. It's great for, you know, John Montgomery's got his name in the credits of a movie. Good for John Montgomery, but he's a payroll accountant for a accountancy firm.
Correct, but the question
why
is,
why is he being credited in a film?
How many other movies does he have in there? You know, just, you know, is this his only movie credit? Or, you know, I actually can't even find Joe Montgomery. You said Joe Montgomery? That's his name?
John Montgomery.
Oh, okay, that's the reason why I wouldn't find him, because I'm looking up the word Joe. Don't see a John Montgomery here either.
See, does this guy even exist?
Well, there are 55 Johns that works on this movie. Probably would make more sense to look up Montgomery. John Montgomery, payroll accountant. There you go. All right, I found him in the end.
Okay.
So he is the eighth John Montgomery in IMDb, and he has 17 credits, all as a payroll accountant. So he's got a steady job as a payroll accountant in the movies. That's what it comes down to. He makes sure everyone gets paid. Fun.
You know, an important role to have.
Yes.
But I would argue doesn't make the cutoff for requiring to be in the credits. But I don't know. I could be wrong. Isn't that,
I guess
I mean,
it all
not
depends
really
on what's in the contract. Does the contract say that they need to be in the credits or not?
And I guess it's not hurting anyone that's in there. It's just, you know, credits could be shorter.
Right. Sure.
I feel like you pick the song that's going over the credits, which in this case, Fortunate Son, and that's the amount of time you have to do the credits. It's the length of the song.
Well, no, you can speed up.
You cut accordingly.
You can, because you can speed up the music here and there. Speed up the roll, not the
text,
music.
Yeah. And then people are going to start picking, like, really long songs for the credits, so it's just to stretch it out.
Well, think about what they do in, like, Lord of the Rings and all that stuff, you know, where they have a half hour of credits where they're just replaying the same score over and over, you know, in a way that makes you think that it's the same song.
I don't watch that.
No, I don't watch it either. I don't watch the credits.
I stop the film and walk away.
I do that too. And the score stops here. The score starts. We no longer have the song playing at this point.
That's it. So all of these people.
So people who want to listen to that song will have to, you know, wait until the end of this episode to hear David sing it again.
Sure.
And then we get the assistants to Mr. Willis and the driver to Mr. Willis and Mr. Willis's chef, Johnny Graham.
Oh, to be Bruce Willis in
This is
the
his
2000s.
only IMDb credit. He's
Okay.
never been anyone else's chef on screen, according to IMDb.
Fair enough. This
Yeah.
is just gonna have been like Bruce Willis's mate needs a job.
Yeah, could be.
He could, yeah, he's my personal chef. Sure, he.
True. And then we have the casting, and then the caterers and the craft services. And then we have the medics that are on set. And then we have six mechanics, which again they do have a lot of cars that they crash in this movie, so it sort of makes sense that they would need to have mechanics on hand to deal about this
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean that's possibly to do with there's cars involved in the making of films, just like driving people around like on sets and things. So this could be, and mechanics don't just do cars; they do all sorts of things. So
Could
this
be.
might not even be fixing up cars in the film. It could be fixing up cameras behind the scenes,
It's true because they
or any
are
other kind of
listed
equipment.
along with the driver captain and the camera car driver and things like that. So
Yeah.
you're right. It could be behind the scenes stuff that they need to have mechanics on hand to I don't know, change a tire or give someone a tune up if that's what they need.
Then we get six helicopter pilots.
That's right. All
Because
right.
they kept on blowing up the helicopters. And they just blew up a pilot each time. Kept
That's
running out, yeah.
my assumption is they're using the same ones, but who knows? Then we get a lot of the dialogue editors and sound effects editors and the ADRs and the Foley artists, all the sound people in this movie, the mixers, the lab color timer, who we talked about last season, what a color timer does, which is
Time the color.
yes, they time the color. That is what they do. Very good. You're paying
Learning.
attention and
Yeah,
you're
that isn't. Yeah.
remembering what you heard last season. So there you go. And then we get the second unit, which is basically as we know, second unit is usually the people taking care of all the action scenes, directing all the action scenes, the stuff that doesn't need Bruce Willis to be there. It's the outside stuff and stuff like that. Then we get all the set production assistants, which there are a lot of those also for them. And we get another medic. Then we get the Baltimore unit, the people who are doing all the camera stuff on the set in the episodes in the scenes that they did in Baltimore. Now I love this. They have a special effects foreman and an FX second. Makes it sound like they're having a duel. I will be your second.
Sure.
They also have Bruce Willis's security guy, followed by another transportation captain and a co-captain.
I like that they're captains. The
Yes.
transportation captain. Like, yeah, that's fun.
That's right. And he's got a co-captain, as opposed
Yeah.
to, it's interesting
A
that they don't
sergeant,
call
if you
them a
will.
co-pilot, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have kept up with the whole. I'm sorry, yeah, they should have. And I'm thinking like, hey, let's go back to last season of Saving Private Ryan. We're like, every team has a medic, has got a captain, and they got like a heavy weapons guy.
That's right. You get the BAR.
Yeah,
Exactly.
every team's got a Jewish person, that
There
kind
you
of
go.
thing.
That's right. Makes sense.
He's got a knife. That's his thing. He's got a knife.
Got a knife. Then we get into the special effects. We have the people that deal with the visual effects miniatures photography and visual effects by Cinema Production Services. And then you have New Deal Studios. Then you have The Orphanage, which I thought was a great name for a visual effects company. So.
Why? Why do you think that's a good name? What is it about that name that makes you think, yeah, visual effects company, great.
Well, again, I couldn't find the reason why they called it the orphanage.
I have a guess.
Do
My
okay, let's hear your guess.
guess is that they were a group of friends who were like let go by other companies, and so they were like, oh, we're like work-wise, we're orphans because we've all just all of these companies we used to work for. All these companies just kind of went under, and so they banded together and formed a new company, that their own company, that they called the orphanage. Because what is an orphan? It's a person whose parents are no longer with them. And so, business-wise, that's what happened with these guys.
Okay,
Their
well, usually
parent companies disappeared, and they formed their own.
you're close.
Maybe. I don't
The
know.
three founders, Stu Mashwitz, Jonathan Rothbart, and Scott Stewart, all used to work at ILM,
Okay.
and they created this thing. I'm sure you've heard me talk about Band from the Ranch, that special effects company. So I guess it's just a different one of guys that left the they left ILM and created their own studio. The special effects studio lasted from 1999 to 2009. And during the recession in 2009, they decided that they were closing their doors after doing a lot of they did effects on Iron Man, and they won they were nominated for a VES award for their work on Iron Man. They did Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, then at World's End, Superman Returns, and Night at the Museum. They worked on Grindhouse with Tarantino.
Sure.
So they had a whole bunch of stuff that they worked on over the years. Now, the thing that I find the best, the funnest piece of trivia about them was that when they put out the their I guess ad that they're closing their doors. So the final line was a message to the visual effects industry. You will never find a better employee than a former orphan.
Fair enough. That's good. That's good. Yeah.
I like that also. They liked I guess they liked the people who worked for them. So we see a whole bunch of we see the list of all the people who worked on this movie from the orphanage, and there are a lot of them. They definitely I don't know what effects they did in this movie, but there's got to be at least 50 people, if not more,
Yeah.
that work from the orphanage that worked on this movie. And then you have
Well,
the
there's a lot of sorry, there's a lot of screens in this film, and that's always something that needs to be done as an effect, is redoing the screens in post, because
yes.
they always like flicker.
Well, we found some mistakes in the screens on these
Okay,
episodes.
sure. And there's a fair amount of CGI in terms of throwing cars at helicopters, that kind of thing. Not entirely everything, but there's more in this than in the previous films.
Correct. Or a truck flying into the sky, hitting a plane. One of those little things like that. Little things.
I'm not saying they didn't do any of this practically, but I imagine there's some post-processing done.
And at this point, we continue with the next visual effects company, Digital Dimension. And then at the end, it goes additional visual effects by Riot Pixel Magic Amalgamated Pixels. Meaning, we're not going to
Sure.
tell you who worked on these things. These are another three
Doesn't
companies.
matter. Yeah.
We've done enough.
Yeah.
We've given you enough.
The song finished ages ago.
That's right.
We need to get out of here. We haven't even told you who played the music yet.
That's right. And then we get the music editors, and we have a supervising music editor and two music editors and one assistant music editor, and then additional music.
Sure. Yeah.
Then we have the score, and then we have the electronic score production.
Sanders,
Yeah.
another good name.
And then
Not quite as good as Peter Rotter. Did the score contracted by Peter Rotter?
Buck Sanders, Peter Rotter, and then John Curlander. Did you ever watch Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Tom Steele is a
That's right.
stage manager. That's a
That's right.
good name, Tom
Did
Steele.
you ever watch the TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes, I'm aware of the Whose
Okay.
Line. Yes, the
Either
UK and the
even
US
okay,
versions.
even
Yeah.
the either the Clive Barker ones or the Drew Carey ones. So the part of the person who
And the
won
Aisha
gets to
Tyler.
read the credits,
Yes. Well, yeah. Sure. Hey, Tim Lauber, of course, Tim Lauber. Great job, Tim Lauber. Yeah. All
There you
that
go,
kind of thing.
exactly.
Yeah.
Then we get the songs. We have six songs that we've talked about through this movie. And we have Rock and Roll Queen, I'm So Sick, 40 Days, Fortunate Son, Hail to the Chief, and America the Beautiful.
Yeah, good.
Then the soundtrack is available. And then we have the list of people that the producers want to thank. There are 11 thanks here.
Sure, yeah.
And then after that, we are followed by footage courtesy of, and we have, two different places where they've taken some of the footage. We have, news and Fox television stations and stuff like that. And then they have to acknowledge that Fox is part of 20th Century Fox.
And so it's is that footage courtesy? Is that footage courtesy of the news? And that is that because of that news the president video?
No, the news footage was that there are a whole bunch of news blurbs that happened throughout the movie.
Okay.
Yes. But and then I love that it says Fox is the trademark of the 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and is used with permission of the 20th Century Fox Film Corporation.
Well, that's very nice of them.
Yeah. Considering that all four Die Hard movies are from Fox, so why not?
Right, but you got to think. We're thinking about Fox as being like one monolith, but inside that building, there's going to be all kinds of people who hate each other.
That's right.
And just like I need to get sign off from Bill and accountant and the lawyers, and yeah, they're all. It's a that one line of credit or two lines of credits is going to be in hell. To have arranged for someone, that's someone's true. Job, and it was the worst week of their life trying to make that happen.
Yes.
Anyway, I've worked for corporations for too long.
Yeah, that's true. Then we get Asteroids, and then we have Gears of War. Gears of War. You were on those.
Yes, episodes. I caught it. Yep.
That's right. Then they have Pictures from Planet of the Apes. Also courtesy of 20th Century Fox again. Nice and fun that 20th Century Fox is willing to give permission to another 20th Century Fox movie to use the stuff.
Yeah, they didn't give and thanks to the guy who gave us the Terminator doll figure for the bit where the apartment blew up.
We will get there. We will get there. Then we have the American Humane Society, American Humane Association, followed by the copyright 2007, 20th Century Fox Corporation, and Dune Entertainment LLC in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is
screw those guys.
Weird. And then you have 2007 TCF, Hungary Films Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company, 20th Century Fox Corporation, and Dune Entertainment LLC in Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. So the copyright is in these every country except for these five, and here's what it's going to be for those five. Now the next copyright information is really weird. It says Ingenious Film Partners 2 LLP and Die Hard Service Inc. Do you think that is a typo?
What the D I E H E R
H A R instead of H A R D.
So I'm looking at a compressed version of the screen. I don't know. I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no what? It's not real or it's not a typo?
I'm going to say it's not a typo. I'm going to say it's not a typo.
Okay, based on the research I did, it is a typo.
Oh, okay. Fine. Okay.
Because they are the authors of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws.
But they put there's no space.
Yes.
So it's a double typo.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no, if they change the company, it's possible the company doesn't have the space.
True.
Yeah. You know. The events, characters, and films depicted in this photography are fictitious. Any similarities to actual persons living or dead or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Obviously. Then we get the last lawyer bit right at the end. Ownership of the motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. So in 2007, they didn't update it yet about movies by minute. So, yeah.
on there.
And they also don't mention the Berne Convention here at all. So I guess you only have to do that if you're in England.
Maybe. Yeah, they did not film this in England.
No, not at all. Not at all. And that's all I have to say about these 3.5 minutes of credits. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'll show you my notepad, which that's my notepad for this. But these credits, which listeners, you heard me just say all the notes are on it. A blank page.
Fair enough. So as I always like to do at the end of talking about a film, I go through some of the IMDb trivia and goofs that that we never touched upon. So one of the ones is the stunt featuring McClane driving a police car into a helicopter took 3 weeks to rehearse. The shot was accomplished by suspending the helicopter in the air with cables and combining two separate shots. One of the stuntmen leaping from the helicopter, that was Rand, for anyone who doesn't remember, and one of the car colliding with it. CGI was then used to delete the supporting cables and rotor blades. You'll be happy about this.
It. Cowards.
That's right. You'll like this bit of trivia, Jay. Both Len Wiseman and Bruce Willis openly admitted to preferring the film's international title, Die Hard 4.0, instead of Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, it's a bad title. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me. yeah, and then we'll talk about the other title soon.
That's all I have to talk about from IMDb that we didn't touch upon that felt relevant to discuss.
Nice.
So as we do every day, we're gonna play a game, and
game
for Jay, we're actually gonna play two games.
Oh, two games.
Yes. Which do you want to do first? Do you want to do State Your Motto or 6 Degrees? Which one would you rather?
Let's get the State Your Motto one out of the way.
Okay. All right. So the first game that we will play is State Your Motto. You know, this movie, which we have now ended talking about, is the name is partially based on the state motto of New Hampshire, Live Free or Die. And they have Live Free or Die Hard in America. Obviously, international, it's Die Hard 4.0, which Jay has expressed his opinion on this. I'm still not 100% sure which I prefer. I mean, I like the patriotic aspect of Live Free or Die Hard, but I think that Die Hard 4.0 fits this movie better. You know, that's sort of my...
it's techie.
Yeah, it's techie. That it is. Okay, so basically the state, or actually U.S. territory that we are going to talk about today for you, are the Virgin Islands. Okay, so okay. Now remember the three mottos that I will give you are all real mottos.
Sure.
You just have to guess which one is connected to the Virgin Islands.
And we recorded my first three episodes of this a long time ago, so if you were to give me those three again, I wouldn't know. I can't remember.
I was debating whether to do that, but yeah, I decided that would
it would
be
work.
Nice.
Absolutely.
I would work. Be nice. Okay.
I couldn't tell you what three states or territories I did back then. I don't know.
Okay. I know Virginia was one of them. I can look it up very easily.
A lot has happened to me since
Virginia,
then. I've
Alabama.
Moved a bunch of times. I've been to different countries.
Yeah, you did Virginia, Alabama, and Guam.
Great.
Those are your three. Exactly. Right. Okay, so
remember it well.
The U.S. Virgin Islands. So your options are let weapons yield to the toga, justice for all, or united in pride and hope.
I mean, I like that first one. Let weapons yield to the toga is fun.
And again, it's real.
I like that. I mean, that's going to be carved on my gravestone, I think. Let weapons yield to the toga. I'm going with that one just because it's the most fun.
No, sorry, that's not it.
No, fine.
The answer is okay. United in pride and oak.
Sure. Pride and oak. Okay.
Okay.
I guess I don't really know where the Virgin Islands are, is another thing.
In the Caribbean?
Okay. That had I known that, I definitely would have gone with it, wouldn't have gone with that, because I don't think you get oak trees in the Caribbean.
What does that have to do with oaks?
What did you say? What was the tagline? United in pride and...
United in pride and hope.
Oh, I thought you said oak. Okay. Sure.
Hope, oak. Yeah, same thing.
Okay. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, similar things. Okay. Exactly. All right, so now we will play 6 Degrees of Bruce Willis.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Just to remind everyone, the way that you do this, similar to 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, the idea is connecting a particular actor with Bruce Willis in as least as many jumps as possible. So your first one is Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt. Helen Hunt. Bruce Willis. Helen Hunt, not someone I'm huge on. I like Helen Hunt. I just haven't seen a lot of her films.
You've seen Twister.
So I've seen Twister. That's probably where I'm going to go is Twister. Because then you can go Alan Ruck. You can go Philip Seymour Hoffman. You can go Paxton. You can go Cary Elwes. One of these people must have worked with Helen Hunt. With Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis, Philip Seymour Hoffman. No, Bruce Willis, Alan Ruck. No, Bruce Willis, Cary Elwes. No. Who about Bill Paxton? Paxton must have worked with Bruce Willis at some point. It's Paxton in Tears of the Sun. Trying to think of Bruce Willis films I haven't seen, but Paxton might have appeared in. There's yeah, I don't know if Twister. What else? Jack Nicholson, you got from Helen Hunt's tricky for me, Rob. Not gonna lie, I wouldn't have picked Helen Hunt as a starting point for me. So that's the game. That's where we are. So yeah. Helen Hunt was in. I can't even think of the name of the film that Helen Hunt's in with Jack Nicholson.
That's as good as it gets.
Thank you. I do like As Good As It Gets. Greg Kinnear is in As Good As It Gets. Cuba Gooding Jr. is in As Good As It Gets. Does Cuba Gooding Jr. work with Bruce Willis in a film? Am I thinking of a military film where the two of them were in it together and I haven't seen the film?
Wait, with Bruce Willis and who?
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
No. Not that I'm familiar
okay.
with.
Okay. I like going through Over the Hedge as being a Bruce Willis connection. I don't know why. And then it's like, what other films have Avril Lavigne been in? Very few. This is I'm not doing well this time. I just need to pick a direction. So Helen Hunt is with, oh God, Bill Paxton in Twister. Bill Paxton. My brain is not working today. The last time we did this was an evening. I'm better in the evening. Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton's done a bunch of stuff.
I think I might have misled you before when I mentioned Twister. I mentioned Twister because I know you like Twister.
I know, but that's like the Helen Hunt film I know.
Oh, okay, fine.
I can't. She's in that film with... she's in the film with the guy in the Iron Lung kind of thing. John
Hawks.
What's his name? John Hawks, thank you. But then I can't think of any John Hawks Bruce Willis films. but John Hawks is one of those careers where like he started loads of small roles early on, so there probably is one. He could be a minor character in Die Hard 4 for all I know.
not that I know, but it's possible.
No, sure. What else has John Hawks been in? He's in Contagion. Everyone's in Contagion. Bruce Willis. Okay. Bruce Willis, Matt Damon in Ocean's 12. Matt Damon, John Hawks, Contagion, John Hawks, Helen Hunt. That film, I can't remember the name of. But you know which one I mean. That one.
The one where she plays a surrogate.
Yeah, it's a surrogate sex worker.
The Sessions.
The Sessions. I was thinking of The Savages, but that's Philip Seymour Hoffman. Right. Which would have been a good another connection to Helena.
No. So, okay.
Yeah, not a great, three isn't great. But,
okay, so I found three instances of two. So Helen Hunt was in Kiss of Death with Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay,
which is familiar with him. It's one of the David Caruso early films.
I haven't seen it.
And then Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Sure.
Helen Hunt was in Girls Just Want to Have Fun with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Who is?
In Striking Distance with Bruce Willis.
Haven't seen.
And Helen Hunt is in Pay It Forward with Haley Joel Osment.
Haven't seen. Who appeared with Bruce Willis in a film. Yes. So the connections there were three films I haven't seen. So good. That's on me.
Okay. No problem. All right, your next one, you're going to be a little surprised about this one. Bill Paxton.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, no. We're just going to add a whole nother Bill Paxton to Helen Hunt. I'm not going to go that way. Okay. So that confirms that Bill Paxton has not been in a film with Bruce Willis, because you wouldn't have picked him if he had.
There are a few times.
This is easy. This is easy. Bill Paxton, Arnold Schwarzenegger, a bunch of James Cameron films, but we'll pick True Lies. Is Bill Paxton in True Lies? Yes, he's and then Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis in Expendables 2. Done.
Excellent. There you go. Perfect.
So the
two that I found was Bill Paxton is in Edge of Tomorrow with Emily Blunt, who is in Looper with Bruce Willis.
Looper, of course, Looper, yes.
And Bill Paxton is in Tombstone with Kurt Russell, who is in Grindhouse with Bruce Willis.
Okay. Yeah, sure. They're in two different films within Grindhouse, but I see what you're doing. Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be like saying, Nick Frost is in Grindhouse with Bruce Willis because he's in one of the mini trailers in the middle. Like, all right, sure.
All right. Your next one is Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson, God. Okay. It's just very few films of hers I've seen.
So think of something that you have seen.
Yeah, I've seen Back to the Future, and I've seen Howard the Duck. So I'm not thinking of Howard the Duck, because I can't remember who else is in. Oh, no, who else is in Howard the Duck? Tim Robbins is in Howard the Duck. Is Tim Robbins going to be the key to this? Have he worked with Bruce Willis before? Has Bruce Willis got a small role in High Fidelity? He's not in Shawshank. He's not in War of the Worlds. He's not in any of those, the baseball film, Bull Durham. I've exhausted my Tim Robbins. He's not in Anchorman. Okay. Back to the Future. If Bruce Willis did a voice in Up, this would be a great connection, because the guy who voices Mayor Goldie does a voice in Up. He's one of the caretakers who becomes the
would have been very impressive.
Carloway at the end. That would be great. I can't tell you his name. So Back to the Future, we've got Crispin Glover, we've got Michael J. Fox, we've got Christopher Lloyd, we've got Biff Tannen, who has a name, and I can't remember what it is right now, and I'm sorry, because that guy's very funny.
Tom.
Yes, that is his name. His name is Tom. You're right, his name is Tom. This is frustrating. Michael J. Fox.
It's Tom Wilson.
In some
Wilson.
Films. Tom Wilson, thank you. Didn't get cast in Castaway. Christopher Lloyd. He was in Nobody. That's too recent. He's in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Did Bruce Willis work with... Was he Bob Hoskins' brother in something? Probably not. As fun as that would be. Michael J. Fox. I can't remember. Who else is in Doc Hollywood? This is the problem with... Michael J. Fox is a lot of 80s and early 90s films I didn't see. I can't remember who else is in Teen Wolf. God, Leah Thompson's a tough one. Crispin Glover? Charlie's Angels? Okay, this is a really long walk to go, but it gets me out of here. It's Leah Thompson, Crispin Glover, and Back to the Future. Crispin Glover, LL Cool J, in I think the opening of the second Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. LL Cool J, Sam Jackson, Deep Blue Sea, Sam Jackson, Bruce Willis, Unbreakable. I don't like that's the route. I mean, there must be something quicker than that, but that's where my brain has gone.
Okay, Leah Thompson was in Back to the Future 2 with Elijah Wood.
Okay, sure.
And Elijah Wood was in what movie with Bruce Willis?
I don't know.
North.
I didn't see North. Okay. Yeah,
Okay.
I heard it was bad, so I didn't watch it.
Got it. Okay, your next one is William H. Macy.
Bill Macy. Okay. There's got to be some kind of route going through Boogie Nights or Magnolia here, because there's a bunch of people in that. Okay, who else is in Magnolia? We're back to Philip Seymour Hoffman, Tom Cruise, Jason Robards, Julianne Moore, Bruce Willis. Is there something there? See, this is the problem with Bruce. He's in a lot of ensembles. I'm frustrated. I should, like, if I had like a big map, with Bruce Willis in the middle and going out to all these ensemble films, like Moonrise Kingdom and Over the Hedge and Ocean's 12. Grindhouse. William H. Macy. Fargo. Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi's in everything as well. Oh, there we go. Yeah, William H. Macy. Fargo with Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi, Pulp Fiction with Bruce Willis. There we go.
Okay,
Just got to keep
or
talking.
Armageddon.
I'll find it.
There were also
Or
Armageddon.
Armageddon, of course. Yes, sure. Yeah. But I just like, he's the $5 shake guy in Pulp Fiction.
That's right.
That's Steve Buscemi, Buddy Holly.
That's right.
Yeah.
I would have. I went with William H. Macy is in Pleasantville with Joan Allen, who is in Country with Bruce Willis, but you've probably never seen In Country.
You haven't? Nope.
Okay, and your final one for today. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to play again.
Great.
Actually,
Can't
no,
wait.
that's it.
I
This
love
will
this
have
game,
been
so it's
done.
fine.
That's right. No, we're only going to play this one in 3 days from now, but yeah,
Okay.
we'll do the Say Your Motto tomorrow, please. Your final one is Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet. I've seen all of her films.
Good.
Good pick. Okay. Back to we've got Cameron again. This is the problem. I've seen all of her films. I've seen too many. I haven't seen some of her more recent stuff actually, so that's a lie. I kind of fell off doing that. Kate Winslet is in. Oh, God. Okay. So Kate Winslet is in a film called Holy Smoke with Harvey Keitel. Harvey Keitel is in Pulp Fiction with Bruce Willis.
Okay, that's fair.
I think that they're both in Holy Smoke. I think Keitel's in Holy Smoke. His penis is in it. I'm pretty sure the rest of him is too.
I didn't check.
It's a Harvey Keitel film. Of course, his penis is in it.
That's probably true also. Probably true. I went
I
the
just.
more conventional way.
He didn't go through Harvey Keitel's penis.
Not go through
Sure,
Harvey
okay.
Keitel's penis.
Yeah,
No, sorry. But first of all, Kate Winslet was in Holy Smoke with Harvey Keitel. Yes, I've never seen that movie, and now the way you
it's
described it, I have
fine.
no desire to see it. So I
It's, you
went.
know, it's part of one of the Kate Winslet, like, it's in the same region as like Wills, where with like, you know, she's in it. You don't need to watch it.
Fair enough. So I actually went with Sense and Sensibility. Who is she in Sense and Sensibility with?
Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman. God, who else is in Sense and Sensibility? It's been a while since I saw that film. I can't remember who else is in that
I'm waiting for
film.
that light bulb. I'm waiting for it.
Well, Alan Rickman. Or have I already said the connection? That one of those two? Alan Rickman, Bruce Willis. Why can't I think of who this is supposed to be?
This is very early for you, I guess.
Hugh Grant?
Go with the
Not
Alan
Bruce
Rickman.
Willis?
Go with the Alan
Alan
Rickman.
Rickman. This is frustrating. Oh, fuck. Sure. Okay. Die Hard. God damn it.
I was waiting for that.
Okay. Fine. Sure, you got me on that one, Rob.
Again, I was hoping that you would, figure that one out on your own.
Yeah, I mean, I Sense and Sensibility, not a film I think about much.
Okay.
But yeah, of course, that's bad.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm gonna think about that all day. Now, so
Good.
good.
I'm glad. Pretty good. All right. So, Jay, would you like to once again tell people where they can follow you?
Sure. Yeah. So, Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, is my podcast, where I talk about Deep Blue Sea. It's in the name. We've been my Mark Hoffmeyer and I, my friend of the show. We've been through the entire Deep Blue Sea trilogy, scene by scene. We like doing it so much, we're doing it again. But we also intersperse that with talking about other films similar to Deep Blue Sea, whether that's Rennie Harlan films or shark movies. So this week, you can look forward to Mark and I talking about the swimming pool scene from It Follows. We'll occasionally just talk about the aquatic scenes in other films, and we both really like the film It Follows. That has a really cool swimming pool scene, and we had a good time talking about that. But last week we talked about Piranha 3D, another really fun film that we love talking about. It's great. So that's the kind of thing we like to talk about. Check us out over at Deep Blue Sea hyphen the podcast, or at Deep Blue Sea Pod on all social media, and then my personal site is lifeversusfilm.com, lifevsfilm.com, where I just review stuff I watch recently sometimes, and I've actually been doing okay this year. I've been reviewing a lot of Twin Peaks season episodes, which I've been going through for the first time, and Spielberg films, and that's about it so far. But
All right.
yeah.
Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroundminute@movierob.net. Thank you very much again, Jay, for ending this half of the season with me.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we will be back. Jay and I will both be back on the next episode tomorrow, where we will begin the next movie. A good day to Die Hard, and I can't believe we're doing
Me too. And I was the one who suggested it. I am sorry.
That's okay. Not a problem. As you know, I'm a completionist, so that's one of the things that I
Sure.
still need to do, regardless.
I am a glutton for punishment.
Yes, you are. All right. Until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.